Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Rush Gook all by himself. The young man is seated at the library table, gazing without enthusiasm at his open algebra textbook. He pauses in his labors at this particular moment, however, because he hears sounds in the kitchen. Listen.
That you, ma'am?
Hi.
Hi, girl.
Mom in there?
No.
Oh, say.
She's downtown.
Say.
She's not here, girl. She's downtown.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you remember at the dinner table this noon she said she was going downtown?
Oh, yeah. Darn it.
Something special?
I call it something special. Flypaper, old shoehorn. Your father has been asked to make a speech.
Where are you going to speak?
Bright Kentucky Hotel.
Oh.
Why are you amused and incredulous?
You're fooling, ain't you?
Why should I be fooling?
Bright Kentucky Hotel.
The Bright Kentucky Hotel, I admit, is a humble establishment. Still and all, though, I expect as many honest hearts beat stout and true there as any place else.
Well, Bright Kentucky Hotel is the last location on earth I'd expect anybody to make a speech at.
Probably the reason for that is that you're young, inexperienced, and unimportant.
Okay.
Are you busy there?
Just glancing over tomorrow's algebra assignment is all.
You can help me if you care to.
What doing?
You can act in the capacity of my secretary in preparing the address I'm giving tonight.
Giving it tonight, huh?
At 8:30.
In the lobby of the Bright Kentucky?
Yep.
Who's going to be your audience?
The guests of the hotel.
Yeah.
Is that funny also?
Well, all the guys that live at the Bright Kentucky are not the sort of fellas.
I have no doubt I'm cheating myself out of a hearty belly laugh by interrupting your cow pasture, but I'd like to get down to business. Time passes and I have to get my oration in shape. Step to the bookcase and get me volumes 2, 3, 4, 7, and 9 of the large library.
Who asked you to talk at the Bright Kentucky?
Stacy Yap.
Oh.
He's in residence there.
Yeah, I know it. Also, the other two barbers from the Butler House Barbershop. Y.A.I.Y. Skeeber and Alf Musherton.
That's right.
Here you are. Volumes 2, 3, 4, 7, and 9.
Thanks, George.
Al?
If I spoke harshly a moment ago, I apologize.
Not at all.
You saw fit to sneer at the Bright Kentucky Hotel, which was more thoughtlessness on your part than malice.
I wasn't sneering at it. It just struck me as a comical place to go.
Well, no matter. Now you may turn to page 163 in volume 7.
163.
I've decided to select as my subject the importance of good sportsmanship in modern business.
Huh.
Want to know the occasion for the speech, old cold chisel?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that.
You continue to snort, gurgle, and guffaw.
Well, I can't help it if it strikes me funny, the idea of anybody making a speech in the lobby of the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
Stout hearts beat as strong and true in the lobby of the Bright Kentucky Hotel as any place else.
I suppose.
If you can keep from howling with laughter 6 seconds, I'll tell you the occasion for my speech.
Okay.
The guests at the Bright Kentucky Hotel are all bachelors.
Yes, I know they are.
Some of them are elderly men and lonely. My friend Stacy Yap got to thinking the matter over and decided it'd be a good stunt to entertain him some way one evening every week. He hit on the notion of inviting speakers.
Oh, uh-huh.
I have the honor of being selected as the first speaker. Nice?
Yes.
I consider it nice.
Uh-huh.
And I give credit to Stacy Yap for being an all-around good fella.
Yeah.
Have you turned to page 163 in volume 7?
Right here.
I've selected as my topic the importance of good sportsmanship in modern business.
Uh-huh.
Now, beginning at the top of page 163 in volume 7, you may read aloud, if you please. Yes?
Is anybody else besides the guests of the Bright Kentucky Hotel going to be in the audience?
No.
It's going to be an awful little audience, then.
Why?
There's only 11 guys living at the Bright Kentucky right now.
Where did you pick up that information?
Well, Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap is night clerk down there, you know.
I've heard you say so, yes.
Well, he told Smelly the Bright Kentucky only had 11 rooms rented, and Smelly told me.
Hmm?
The management's getting kind of desperate. See, a hotel with only 11 rooms rented is running at...
Well, no matter, no matter. 11's enough. Won't be a fashionable audience, and it won't be a large audience, but I'm willing
to... Telephone ring.
I'll get it.
I thought of another angle.
What's that?
Mr. Gumpox and Mr. Jeffrey and Mr. Cunningham won't be on deck to hear you. A new moving picture's opening.
Just a second, George.
No.
Hello? Oh, yes, Al. Been talking to Stacy, I bet. Ha ha. Ah, that's right, Al. If I speak at 8:30. Gonna be on deck, are you? Oh. Sick friend, huh? I see. Well, you can listen to me fling oratory around the next time, then. Okay, Alf. You bet. So long.
Alf Musherton? He won't be on hand to hear you speak?
He has to go visit a sick friend.
Oh.
What'd you start to say a minute ago when I picked up the telephone receiver?
Oh, I was just going to mention the fact that Mr. Gumpox and Mr. Jeffrey and Mr. Cunningham won't be on hand either.
Who are Mr. Jeffrey and Mr. Cunningham?
Well, a couple of old fellas that live at the Brake, Kentucky.
Why won't they be on hand?
Because there's a new moving picture opening tonight at the Bijou. Those three fellas, Mr. Gumpox, Mr. Jeffrey, and Mr. Cunningham, wouldn't miss the first night for $1 million. See, they got a reputation for attending new moving pictures on the nights they open, and they're proud of their reputation. Well, I can tell you for
all right, let's get on with our business here and cut out a little of the twaddle. Beginning at the top of page 163 in volume 7. Kindly read it out.
Oh.
I must get some ideas on good sportsmanship and modern business. Well?
Mr. Montgomery and Mr. Slatcher are completely deaf.
And who are Mr. Montgomery and Mr. Slatcher, pray?
A couple of old fellas that reside at the Bright, Kentucky.
They are completely deaf?
Yes.
Why are you making me privy to the information?
I just thought you'd be interested was all. Makes two more guests at the Bright Kentucky Hotel that won't hear your speech.
Yeah, well, beginning at the top of page 163 in volume 7. Kindly read it out.
I beat my breast in agony. I clutch my throat with rage. The wild beasts of the jungle are not one half so dangerous as I. The frosty moon shines... Telephone's ringing.
I hear it, one side. Oh. The material you just read doesn't suggest any ideas about good sportsmanship and modern business. You may turn to page 47 in volume 9.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, yes, why? Heard about it, did you? Oh, I'm not the world's greatest orator or anything, but if I can give a talk that'll cheer up some of them elderly fellows a little, I'm only too glad. Yes. You'll be on deck, I suppose. Why? Oh. I see. That's too bad. Well, I'm sorry, too. Yes. Well, okay. You bet. Goodbye.
Why, Skeever?
Hmm.
He won't be on hand tonight?
No.
What's the matter?
Has to see his grandfather off on the train.
Oh.
Well, have you turned to page 47, volume 9?
Yeah.
Read aloud, please. What's the matter now?
I told you there were 11 guys living at the Bright, Kentucky.
Yes.
I was wrong.
Yeah. I had an idea you were wrong.
There's only 10.
10?
Mr. Yammerly got fired from his job on the railroad day before yesterday and went to Niles, Michigan to live with his brother-in-law.
Where do you get all these fascinating bulletins?
Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap tells Smelly, and Smelly tells me.
Read aloud.
In hot disputanum, dum clutch sheesh. Ad infinitum, spinach sim spittle honk. Pluribus.
Naturally, I'm not going to make a speech in Latin.
Well, you told me to.
Sit down. Read where the English begins.
Sweetheart, your eyes are like limpid pools seen by moonlight in the deep forest. Your soft hands put to shame the velvet petals of the hyacinth. Oh, would that
who
I might...
Who do you say them slobs are that are going to go to the moving picture show tonight?
Mr. Gumpox, Mr. Jeffrey, and Mr. Cunningham.
Mm.
Your soft hands put to shame the velvet petals...
And who are the guys that are hard of hearing?
Mr. Montgomery and Mr. Slatcher.
Makes five guys.
Yeah.
Why, Skeever and Alf Musherton begged off.
Huh?
Seven guys. Mm. You're sure there's only 10 guys live at the Bright Kentucky Hotel?
Positive.
There's three guys to hear me make a speech.
I thought of another angle.
You suddenly remembered the three guys that make up my audience died this afternoon?
No.
Well, what's your angle?
You say your talk is scheduled for 8:30?
Yes.
That's just when they start switching freight trains around in the railroad yards there. Loudest noise you ever heard in your life. Why, people can't even carry on a conversation in the lobby of the Bright Kentucky. I don't see how anybody can make a speech with locomotives letting off steam and whistles blowing.
You may
and
read.
Beg pardon?
You may read aloud from volume 9,
page
47.
Oh. Sweetheart, your eyes are like limpid pools seen by moonlight in the deep forest. Your pale hands put to shame the velvet petals of the hyacinth. Oh,
that has little bearing on the importance of good sportsmanship in modern business.
Well, I can't help it. I'm reading what you told me to read.
Well, turn to page 51 in volume 4.
Volume 4, page 51. Yeah, Gov, at 8:30, about 16 switch engines start tearing around the bright Kentucky.
I'll get that.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, yes. Oh? I see. Yeah. I see. Okay. Goodbye.
Who was that?
Stacy Yapa.
Oh, fellow that invited you to come and give a talk?
Mm.
What'd Mr. Yap want?
He won't be on hand to hear me speak tonight.
No?
No.
What's his excuse?
He has to take his cousin to the dentist.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.